Heavenly Father, we come, my brother Joseph. Father, I confess our sins, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the privilege, the honor to stand before your people. Lord, I stand in awe of you and I ask for mercy to enable to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. As I speak, Lord, let your word go out of my mouth. Lord, as streams of living water to bring rest and refreshing to every one of us. Let it cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened, the revelation of the word that goes forth, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the truth of spirit. Lord, help me to redeem time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Let Lord come and continue to prepare us for the imminent glory as we await the manifestation of the same. Father, let your kingdom come, let your will done. Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to redeem time. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and glorify Jesus. Come and testify of him. We give you all the praise, glory, honor, and adoration for what you will do in our midst today. In Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message today is Remaining Small in Your Own Eyes. Let's say together, remaining small in your own eyes. Let's say it one more time. Remaining small in your own eyes. Praise the Lord. Let me give a background to this message. 2 weeks ago, on Monday precisely, on the 3rd of this month, I woke up in the morning trying to get ready for, normally, by the grace of God, we pray ahead of time for the good morning just prayer. So I woke up to pray, and as I was on my face praying, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, remain small in your eyes. So immediately he spoke to me. Of course, I knew where the scripture came from. It was talking about when Saul was rebuking Samuel was correcting Saul. And I joined for the 1 hour before prayer meeting, before Good Morning Jesus. And Pastor Dutton was supposed to lead, you know. So, and something very unusual happened that day. You see, normally, mommy hardly, very rarely, but something unusual happened as we drew life. And Pastor Dutton Aria was making the petition for the prayers before started praying in tongues. He was about to finish the petition, they understand. That moment stopped. He muted everything. She muted everything and said, there's something in my heart I have to say. There's something very urgent I have to say. And he started talking along the same lines. And as he said, we need to, talking to everybody, that all of us, we need to, talking about humility. But she said something I can remember now. She said that we need to, talking about John the Baptist. She said that may we never say, yes, I remember, may we never say, are you the one to come or should we expect another? And I started talking about humility and all that. So immediately she spoke that, you know, connected with what I spoke with him earlier on. And I God now began to speak to me, of which I mentioned the other day. And God told me, said, you must make the transition from John the Baptist to becoming John the Beloved via humility. So that's the title of my message. I just gave that background. I believe it applies to all of us because the more I pondered on it, I saw that this is the critical key that we need to enter to manifest the glory of God. So remaining small in your own eyes. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 17. Just put it straight in Amplified Bible. I'm going to go straight to the point so we don't waste time so we can leave on time. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 17. Are we there in Amplified Bible? I said, please, Amplified Bible. Let's read together. Samuel said, let's read together, please. Samuel said, you are small in your own sight. Were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel. So here we see Samuel telling Saul. We know the background of the story. God had told Saul that he should go and destroy the Amalekites, you know, kill everything, chicken, whatever. And he went and he kept Hagar, which is type of pride. Are you following me? And the fattest calf and all that. And so God spoke to Samuel and told him, and God sent him to Saul, and he gave what we saw. And King James says, when you are small, your own eyes. But let's look at it in the book of, in the NIV. I'll read in NIV. NIV says, in NIV, verses 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17, and I please put it on the board because of time. Please, let's move very fast today by the grace of God. Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. So we see the clearer picture here. There was a time that Saul was small in his own eyes. So that I'll read that aspect. It says, although you were once small. That's why you can pick the message from. It says remaining small. We all have to remain small in our own eyes. Praise the Lord. Now, if you look at these things, you know, the types and shadows, I discover something, and I thank God for the teaching of a house. There's always a spiritual technology to something. Or when you see types and shadows, and you don't know the how, then it is not something. Being humble is not something just physical. Because the opposite is pride. And pride comes from issues from the same nature that we heard of Adam. So it's not something physical. Or else we live here condemned. Are you following me? And then when God brings a warning is not a curse. Like when God told Adam in the Garden of Eden, he said, "Of the day you eat of the tree of this fruit of it, you shall surely die." It was a warning. He was trying to say, I know. It's like when you buy a phone or something, a physical electronic gadget, they'll put there, say, charge for so and so minutes. They will say, if you do this, this will happen. Are you following me? So that's what God does. So when God brings a warning or tells us something, it's because he loves us and he cares for us, so we can avoid it. It would be unjust for God not to tell, to have told Saul or to have told people some the dangers ahead. Are you following me? So it's very important. It says, once, although you are once small, there was a time in Saul's life that it was small. Now, let's begin to look at the scriptures to understand, you know, what this means, you know. And let Saul himself, when God chose him, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21. He himself said something. He said, and Saul answered. That's when Samuel called him to become king. And Saul answered and said, I'm not a what? Benjamite of the what? The smallest of the tribes of Israel. And my family. Let's read it together. And my family. You see, this may be the most important message. Let me do this. One of the most important messages you will have out here. You see, as I continue. And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family, said my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Wherefore then thou now speakest thou so to me? That was the state of Saul's heart when he began his walk with God. And that is the state of our hearts when we begin. Because without this beginning like this, this is what gets you born again. This is how we begin. You have a very, you know, you are very small in your eyes, you know. Anything they tell you to do, you do. If God whispers to you, go and sweep the floor, you will sweep it. Praise the Lord. Now, what does it mean to be little or small? King James said, when you are little, what does it mean to be little or small in our own eyes? Say, own eyes. It's in your own eyes, not in somebody else's eyes. Somebody else may be looking at you and you may look small in that person's eyes. You may look humble. But in your own eyes is what we are talking about today. Are you following me? Because people may judge wrongly. Are you following me? So we need to, what does it mean to be small in our own eyes? And I put it here. First of all, what does the eye speak of in the Bible? The eye speaks of the human mind. Say the human mind. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 says that the eyes of your understanding being further enlightened. So the eye we are talking about, being small in your own eyes, is we're not talking about a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing, talking about your soul. Are you with me? So it is not, I put in my notes as God gave it to me, it is not thinking more highly of oneself. Say to God, it is not thinking more highly of oneself. Not having an overestimation of oneself and importance. Don't overestimate yourself. At the same time, I'm not saying you should underestimate or should have a low self-esteem. No. Knowing exactly where you are. Because the Bible says that we have been seated, made to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Boy, it is in Christ Jesus. If Christ is not there, you are nothing. You and I are nothing. Praise the Lord. So let's go to, I said, not having an overestimation of oneself and importance. Are you following me? That is what the Bible calls being high-minded. Say high-minded. Pride. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. In the Bible. Pastor talked about it some time ago before, you know, about a week or two or some weeks ago. Let's read. This is what Paul said. Say, for by the grace or merited favor of God given to me, I want everyone among you. I want everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought. Not to have what? An exaggerated opinion of his own importance.
but to rate his ability with what? Sober judgment. Each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. Just along this side, some time ago, some days ago, God spoke to me. He said, do not be presumptuous. I'm saying this because God speaks to me, I say it, so it can be a blessing to everybody. And when I say it, I know he puts me on my toes to work it out. But I said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So he said, don't be presumptuous. And then, you know, when God talks to me, he showed me scripture. If you go and see me in the book of Deuteronomy, God told the Israelites, he said, when a prophet speaks and it doesn't come to pass, he said, they have spoken presumptuously. He said, don't believe him. So presumptuousness is when you say what God has not said. The difference between Samuel, why his words came to pass and never fell to the ground, is not because he was special, but he made sure and practiced over a period of time that he never said what God did not say. That's what the Bible calls presumptuousness. And he told me second thing. He said, don't exaggerate. Because each time you exaggerate, you are lying. Say it exactly as it is. The Bible says Jesus Christ healed one. Say healed a multitude. But many of us, God, you see, again, all these things, even though God is saying them, the root cause is the sin nature. God will say something, you will expand it. Go by later. So they can say, man, that testimony was very fantastic. So you say what God did not say. And Bible says that whoever takes out of his book or adds to it, says his own path shall be taken away upon the book of life. See, we have come to a place in the body of Christ, like I shared some time ago, at Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea means holy. Where God went to the entire congregation. Right from Moses to Miriam to everybody. He went to the entire congregation. That was where the judgment began. Because Kadesh Barnea is the last place before you enter into the promised land. As there, Moses was corrected and judged. Aaron, Miriam. It was at Kadesh Barnea. It was at Kadesh Barnea they brought the fruit of a land for people to see. It was at Kadesh Barnea, if you go and study properly, that the guy that did not keep the Sabbath was killed. I'm not saying that people are going to be killed. But what we are saying is this. Keeping the Sabbath is finding time to rest, taking care of your physical body, so you don't lose your life like Elisha did. It was at Kadesh Barnea that, you see, you cannot carry all this garbage into the promised land. So God began to correct them. So like I said, don't exaggerate. Because if you exaggerate, you are lying. You can't exaggerate, sounds okay. But it's actually a lie. You have lied. Are you following me? Then he said, don't be presumptuous. Presumptuousness from both Bibles and Judaism, when you say what God has not said. And that is why we have a problem in the body of Christ. God doesn't say something, somebody stands on the people and declares, and the thing doesn't come to pass. Then people begin to doubt whether God is real or not. But look at Saul, Samuel. Samuel, even, you see, when the Bible talks about, you know, I was going to say, when he saw Eliab, and he said, he had not yet said in that, he was still pondering. God just allowed us what was going on in his heart. He said, surely the Lord anointed. But Jesus, he was doing what Christ practiced. As I hear, I judge. And judgment. So it wasn't because he made a mistake. It was, that is his natural self. You see, a thought will come to him. Then he'll say, Lord, is this a person or not? Surely it must be the person. He was pondering. He had not said anything how to. He was pondering. That's what he began to do. Once he began to ponder upon your heart. Yeah, but he said, Mary pondered. Said, though I was about to be established. So when thoughts come to your mind, don't just voice it out and say, God said, Lord, or God told me. No. Ponder. It's as you ponder, I've been in the way the Lord led me. Then more light will come. Some things you hold back in your heart until you come to church. Then God will bring an external confirmation. In a matter of two or three witnesses. But when you speak it out, you only have one witness. And it is you. And maybe Satan speaking through you. Just like he did through Peter. When he said, thou art the Christ. The next thing he said, it shall not be unto you. So this is, we have come to a place where when you walk circumspectly, the mom will say, as barefooted priest. So we see. Let's go back to the message. Just us by the side. So we've read Proverbs. I put in my note, Romans 12, verse 3. I said, God, the God we serve, delights in using the weak things of this world to confound the wise. That is just God. He delights in using the weak things of the world, the small people, the people that don't see themselves as anything. That only know that if not for the mercy of God, I will not be doing what I'm doing today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 in Amplified Bible. Remember, the title of the message is Remaining Small in Your Eyes. It's something you have to keep on doing until
we see him face to face. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Are we there? Let's read together. No, Paul was talking to Corinthian church. He said, no. No, for God selected, deliberately what? Choose. What in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame, and what the world calls weak to put the strong to shame. So God uses this technology to put the world to, it's a technology. Like you go and pick someone like Peter, a fisherman, he will raise the dead. Then say, these people are unlearned men. I'm not saying don't go to school. That's what the Bible was saying. But you see, so that in yourself, you not think it's because I went to school or because I went to study at the feet of Gamaliel. So you used to confound the wise so that with all your knowledge, all your ability, all your education, everything you have, because somewhere in your heart, you are going to a war front or are going to do something for God with that background of that knowledge. So how can you ever give God the glory? How can you ever give God the glory? If I come here today and it's because I prayed, it's wrong to pray. Well, I studied. No. The anointing will not flow. Because I was speaking of myself. That is why I'm getting out of myself. You see, as the Holy Spirit helps me. That is why, you see, when you want to know someone that is speaking from God, he will not speak of himself. You know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. One of his ministries is this. The Bible said, the master is self-serving. He said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will testify on me. He said, he will glorify me. So when you see somebody standing before you, I did this, I did that. That is the flesh speaking to him. The Holy Spirit has one mission here on earth. To raise up Jesus Christ. The master said it. He said that he will glorify me, not man. He will testify of me, not man. Does it mean we don't share testimony? We do. But I say just a little. You don't dwell on it. That's why you have to you run away from sycophants. Praise singers. Who want to pump up your ego. That will run after Jesus Christ. Like that man, good master, good master. He said, why call me that good? That's how we put ourselves into trouble. We'll see as we continue. We're talking about remaining small in your eyes. So, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, just to put it as I say, but Bethlehem Ephrathah, do thou be little among the thousands of Judah? Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been of old. I can say that prophetically about this place. But that old scripture, Pastor Christian Center, though thou be little among the thousands of churches over the world, yet out of this shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Say, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, when you don't have anything to depend on, you are relying on God. You don't rely on God. It is when you have something, like you have, let's say you have 5-10 billion in the account. And you're not going, if somebody comes or they say maybe somebody just scratched your car, maybe just scratch it. Say, go and change it. I cannot be using this motor scratch. Go and change it because the money is there. Go and change the car. No, you won't say spray. Go and change it. This is beneath me. That's by talking. This is beneath me. Then you can no longer eat things that people consider. I'm not saying don't eat good food. I'm just giving an example. No. We can't be hard. Look, we are big. I can't be. Look. You can't wear Ankara again. You see, maybe you're supposed to minister. And there's only one person seated. You say, no, I can't come there. Why? Only one person. Don't take boy with me. Or you're supposed to sing in the house or your house fellowship. Say, no, I walk. He said, I'm a mistress. I'm not a, although we belong to the choir, but I'm a mistress. They call for me like Elisha. He's go and call me. I don't, just you begin to come late to choir practice. So I'm a mistress. Mistress, Lawa. Ori, Biba, Lawa, Timan, Connie. I'm an angry one. I'm angry one. Then, you know, the pastor, I drew by. She moved. Well, chorister, I want. Minister, let me. Mistress. I'm a mistress. When I sing the anointing, if I don't sing the anointing, will not come on Elisha. All in the heart, too. Nothing said out. All in the heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, let me continue. Remaining small in your eyes
is having, say, having, maintaining, and increasing in humility. Let's say it together. Remaining small in your eyes is having, maintaining, and increasing in humility. Say, having, maintaining, and increasing in humility. So what is humility? Pastor has taught us. Humility is submitting to the will of God when you don't feel like it. When doing so makes you lower than what you think or know you are. That is God's biblical definition of humility. It is what? Submitting to the will of God when you don't feel like it. When doing so makes you lower. Say lower than what you think or know you are. You actually know. You actually know. These are things in recent time I've been practicing. I'm saying it. I'm not there yet. But, you know, I'm saying it. You don't have a sense of entitlement. That each time you come here to pray, because we are going to for the church in Nigeria, they must give the mic to you. Isn't it hard, though? Isn't it hard, though? That I know I'm the one that must sing. It could be anything. I'm the one that must carry the kidney to the front, the bucket of the offering. You don't have a sense of entitlement. I quoted the other day by Lord Jesus Christ. So after you have done everything, he said, no, Papa said, no man, Ibu, say, no man take this honor unto himself, except in that is called. And I said that, so also, the Lord Jesus Christ, he did not call himself to be high priest, somewhere in Hebrews chapter 4. He said, please put it there, just came by flash, let me just mention it, so you can understand how we need to walk. You don't have a sense of entitlement. Please put it there, it's in Hebrews chapter 4 or 3. 5:4. Thank you, Pastor Ibrahim. 5:4, please. Say, and no man take this honor on himself, but he that so waits to be called. Don't call yourself. Though he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Next verse. So also, say so also. That's our pattern and our example. Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto me, thou art my son, today have I begun. So after he was resurrected and everything was there, he just stood there. Until God said, thou art my son. That is, he did not think it was a right that let him say first. You don't have a sense of entitlement. You are hard, you are saying, Lord, oh, if it is me, praise God. If it's not me. So if they give somebody else, you are not offended. And you'll be praying, with Lord, please help him. Help him, help him, help him. Let's keep moving on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give all the glory and praise. So the opposite of remaining small in your eyes is to be puffed up. When something is small, it can be puffed up. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. King James says, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Say, vainly puffed up. You know, we're talking about the mind now, the eyes, the remaining small. So the problem is in the soul. Say, be vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. That's Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Put it in the Amplified Bible. In the Amplified Bible, let's read. Let no one defraud you by acting as an umpire and declaring you unworthy and disqualifying you of the prize, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, taking his stand on visions, he claims he has seen. Now, this is why I'm going to say, vainly puffed up by sensuous notions and inflated by his unspiritual thoughts and fleshly conceit. But you see, if you read that and you go away like that, I don't know the reason behind it, you always be under condemnation. Is it because the root cause of being puffed up in the mind is because of a sin nature? Say sin nature. The residual sin nature in the soul and in the body. That is what I want you to see today. That is what God told me. Or else if you're going like this, you are okay today. Tomorrow you are down. You're okay today. So we're going to see by the mercy and the grace of God how to get to that place by the mercy and grace of God, I said, and how to stay there. So the root cause of this problem is the sin nature in the soul. So that word puffed up, if you remember the word that says, you know, yeast in the natural. When you want dough to rise, you put leaven or yeast there. So automatically the thing will rise. That is the problem that we all have. When people begin to praise you or you have just succeeded, you say, ah, Orimide, woo. Why? Is the sin nature there? Are you with me? I don't mean to say in a derogatory manner, but I said in such a way that I can understand. So to the about you, you automatically know that you have not put that signature on that check at that time. Are you with me? So praise the Lord. So the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, the Amplified Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, the Amplified Bible. Are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 in the Amplified Bible. Let's read. Now, about food offered to idols. Of course, we know that all of us possess knowledge concerning these matters. Yet, say yet, mere knowledge causes people to be puffed up, to bear themselves forth loftily, be proud, but love, affection, and goodwill and benevolence edifies and builds up and encourages one to grow to his full stature. That is where we are going to. This is why we are puffed up. Is none of us can say we have not been puffed up at one time or the other. You may not, people may not know. You may be walking like this. But yes, you know, and you are bowing down. So it's not physical, it's spiritual. I follow him. It's spiritual. Because of a sin nature in your soul and a sin nature from the air. So Satan begins to work against your mind. But there is none like you. Ah! In fact, by the time you finish that message, you are the man of God of the hour. In fact, when you sang that song, in fact, can I give you a tape? You see, you must not be caught off guard. Are you with me? So, what are we saying? He said, man, I like perfect up. But charity, love edifies. Now, let me explain what I've just said by explaining using time, speaking. Using natural things. The reason why people do not remain small in their eyes, that is their mind, is because they do not take the time. Say, take the time through prayer and diligently and constantly overcoming and dominating and also flushing down the residual sin nature in their soul and body, which unchecked will gradually puff them up, especially after they succeed in life, either spiritually or physically. Let me read it again. We already agree and know that we have a residual sin nature in our soul and in our body. And we already know from scripture that that's what puffs you up. It's not natural. Because that's what makes Satan to fall. He began to look at himself, you know, covered with sapphire, all this, you know, what we say, he used to walk in the midst of the stones of fire. So we are going to move. Instead of looking up to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, instead of him to begin to look at Christ all the time, because the more of him you see, the more you see that you don't know anything. That is why Jesus is your pattern, not man. Jesus is your pattern. That's why he said, if I be lifted up, not man, why aren't you finding people being drawn unto him in the body of Christ? We are talking about ourselves. I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. I cast out seven devils. You know, Kenneth Hagin said something. He said some years ago, he said that when the baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't common, God now showed him technology from Romans chapter 10. You know, you believe the heart, confess your mouth. And people that have been tarrying for 50 years, they will come instantly. Pa, 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 they will feel the Holy Spirit. Congregation will feel the Holy Spirit. So he said he took his Bible, he started counting, recording the number. Said, Holy Spirit, don't count again. That's the mistake that David made. Number of the people. Forget the things that are behind. Reach for those now before. Press toward the mark. What are you counting? I was telling myself, But I said, the works I do shall you do and greater. You have not even the works that I do. Lord will have mercy on us. So I repeat what I just said. So we can know the reason. It's not natural. It's spiritual. The reason why people do not remain small in their eyes, that is their mind, is because they do not take time through prayer to diligently and constantly overcome, dominate, and flush. I say flush out the residual sin nature in the soul and body, which unchecked, we gradually puff them up, especially after they succeed in life, either spiritually or physically. They become gradually proud or arrogant. It's a gradual process. It's a gradual process. It's a gradual process that has to be very diligent. And then you surround yourself with that will tell you the truth. Like Nathan, thou art the man! Doesn't matter whether the person is under you. Thou art the man! But we know Nathan loved David. Because instantly he said, okay, God has forgiven your sins. Said, thou art the man. It could be your children. Receive it. Receive it. Don't say, how can you be talking like that? Like Uzziah. Receive it. Swallow your pride. Receive it. You want to fulfill your destiny. We fulfill our destiny in Jesus' name. So the principle of scripture here, I said the principle of scripture here is found in John chapter 3 verse 30. John the Baptist, he said, he must increase. Say, he must increase, but I must decrease. That word must is binding in the Greek. It is a binding. It is composite. That is the same word that says, through much tribulation, we must. Without it, we cannot enter the kingdom. He must increase. Say, he must increase. And I decrease. Now, when Papa Kelly came here years ago, he said something. He said, this is the way it is written in the original. He must increase, I decrease. So you focus on him increasing. When you do that, you will automatically decrease. That's a difference, though. Even though he puts it there for, to make it clear. So he must increase. So once he's increasing, I will decrease. So if I'm daily following after to become like him, if I'm daily lifting him up, I can't do those things at the same time. I will automatically be decreasing. Understand the principle. Focus on the answer, not on the problem. Don't deny the problem, but focus on the answer, not the problem. Spend more time keeping the answer. Somebody is sick today. He can have symptoms of temperature, vomiting, is malaria. We know we are not denying the facts. But focus on what you have been told. Take 4 tablets per attempt. 4 in the morning. 4 at night. You may still be vomiting. 4 the next day. 4. Focus on the answer. The answer, my folks, is perfecting the love of God. Why? Because love can never fail. Focus on that. Don't spend your entire life in sorrow or in condemnation. A just man, the Bible said, will force 7 times. Get up again and pick up your love. Love work. Many of God's people have been under condemnation. That's when you are correcting people. Don't correct. We have received a ministry of reconciliation, not of condemnation. Yes, this is the problem. This is this. This is these are the symptoms. It is pride, I know. But at the same time, and the love of God to them. So you take this in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. So God's people will not be condemned. I'm saying, oh, I can't make it again. Who told you can't make it again? Who told you? Say, I will make it in Jesus' name. You have paid for the price. Why will God call you to something that you know you can't make? Why? Why will God say you should go and do something you know you will fail? It's not unjust. He must increase. And I decrease. So teach God's people, church, how it will increase. Once you teach them how Christ will increase in your life through the teaching of the principles of Christ's life, automatically themselves, the sin nature will decrease. Don't like Pastor shared years ago about vision that mommy had. If you have a glass, like this is a glass, of empty glass or container, know that there is air inside, right? There's air inside, right? It's not a vacuum. The easiest way you can get out what air out of the cup is to pour water. So I'm not trying to suck it. You're wasting time. Just get the water. Put it under a tap. As the water is entering, the air is going out. As the water is entering, the air is going out. So when the Bible says that the eyes of your understanding being flooded with light, so also the eye of understanding should be flooded with life. Focus on that. Be diligent about drawing life. Be diligent about praying. That will take care of itself. Praise the Lord. So, why is nature must increase? Why we decrease? Why? In the soul. Because that is the end of our salvation. Receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our soul. So that process of him increasing, his life increasing in your soul, is a continuous process until your soul is saved. Because the little level you live there, it will manifest one day, especially when you are not diligent enough. So, hence the scripture says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It's a scripture when we call people are afraid. You don't need to be afraid. It's just saying, take heed. Take heed. Don't think you are okay. Always be in that place that you remain small in your eyes, especially before God. So look at a few examples. Four examples. I have Moses, David, John the Baptist, and Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just go straight to Moses. I'll just read some scriptures about Moses, and then we'll look at him initially and later. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 in Amplified. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 in Amplified. This was when God had started dealing with Moses in the house of his father-in-law. I now called him. You see, it took time. Many times, Pastor preached the message, you know, humility and tribulation. Please go and listen. That's why God allows challenges to come. So when you just finish one victory now, like he did for Paul, you start feeling that there is nobody on you on the earth. Then, that's boss, bah! Then, yeah. Oh God, I don't. That's why I say persecution and affliction will arise for the world's sake. Now, it's not talking about the head knowledge of the world, though. It is the remnant that you are doing. Or else the church that has been perfected, because there are so many religious institutions in Christianity that they are not experiencing persecution. So it's talking about the world you are working in. Satan will now kick up a storm like he did for Paul. He sent a messenger to him, and God allowed it, because it was a prod. Paul started maybe before that time. He was trying to write in Romans, as it's in 2 Corinthians chapter. What I was talking about, I said, I know a man. Probably if he had not been humble, I said, I, Paul, I went to heaven the third day. I've been putting his name there, name there, name there. But this time God had dealt with him. He said, he had to tell the truth. But he said, I know a man. Whether in the flesh or not, God, only God knows. That's a humble man talking. Although he has spent a whole chapter or a whole book writing about his revelations. I, Paul. So let's read. And Moses said to the Lord. Let's read. And Moses said to the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not eloquent, or a man of words, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. For I'm slow of speech and have a heavy and awkward tongue. Next verse. This is the president Moses. He was humble. And the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb or the deaf? Or seen or the seen or the blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, God doesn't make people blind, but you know, he's talking in the, you know, permissive sense. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth, and will teach you what you should say, we shall say. Next verse. And he said, oh, my Lord, I pray you, send by the hand of some other, whom you will send. Oh, Lord, help me. Why am I can't talk? Go and preach the gospel. I can't talk. That's why he started, though. Bible said, and he was mighty in word. Verse 14. And God was telling him, then the anger of the Lord blazed against Moses. He said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know he can speak well. Also, he's coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be overjoyed. So you know that here, from this scripture, Aaron was not initially supposed to be Moses' mouthpiece. But because God has to continue. Now, that is initially. Later. Numbers chapter 20, verse 10. You see, there's something about when you see the finishing line. And you can actually see that you're running the race like 100 meter dash or 400. And because there's nobody here. There's nobody here. And you're looking at the tape like this. You're about to cut the tape. There's something that comes from the same nature that makes you feel a bit overconfident just before you break the tape. So if you're not careful, if it's a 400 meter or 4x4 relay, you can drop the baton. If you're not careful, I've seen people just fall. If you're not careful, some people will be looking back like this before they know it. Phew! So Moses got to this place and he saw the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. So his guard was down. At the day, they have prophesied that this year the glory will manifest. And you are doing everything, you are ticking your eyes, you are doing everything, and God is beginning to speak to you. Things are beginning to happen. They begin to lower your guard. It is not over, folks, until it's over. So this is what happened. He was looking at him and said, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, you rebels, must we, myself, who are you? Myself, Aaron, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. On the same level. Where were you when God said, let us make man in our own image, including you? You are just a thought. Said before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, you rebels, must we? As if he was one giving them the water. That's why the miracle that God is doing to him. It's him and God that are doing together. Not recognize that it is just God walking through him. Not like God can speak to a donkey. Like when the master rode into Jerusalem, somebody said something to very blessed me. He said that the Lord will return to Jerusalem riding on a horse's colt. But it'll be foolish for the ass to think that the thing they are throwing on the ground and the clapping they are clapping is for him. It's for Jesus. So he begins to do like this. After all these years, no, it is not you. It is you and it is not you. So you don't have a so low self-esteem. So the poor rock and said unto them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" Next verse. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank abundantly, and the beasts also abundantly. Next verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. It's when God said this, he didn't say to the congregation, he spoke to them. He didn't rebuke them before the congregation, but he spoke to them. "Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Next verse. This water, this is the water of Meribah. Because, you know, Israel strove with the Lord and he was sanctified in them. I want to go to Numbers. He was begging God. He was begging God. God said, "No. Don't go there. Don't even talk about it." Why? Is God, didn't God like him? No. You see, by reason of time, you should be humble. He killed the Egyptian. After he killed the Egyptian, God covered it. Nothing happened. He took him away. He hid him. If he had left him, people would have killed more people. He was there. God was training him. Are you following me? He kept getting angry. He was coming down from the mountain. He saw the boom is being. He took God's tablets of stone. He broke it in anger. You know what God said? If you read it properly, he said, "Now, you know what I'm going to do? Maybe you saw how I designed that one. So, Lord, your worry, go and cut down that one. Bring it. I will write it again." You spend, maybe 40 days, the first one. You spend that 40 days alone with me. Fasting and praying. We need to know God we are serving. We don't take him for granted. Don't allow your anger to overcome you and make a terrible mistake. He kept on doing that, kept on doing that. Many places you see, Bible say, "And Moses was wroth." And I pointed out the other day, so Moses was always angry with the children of Israel. How come he was not angry with Zipporah? When Zipporah opposed him from circumcising, the Bible doesn't say anything that Moses did. It was when God was going to kill him on the way to go and fulfill his destiny that Zipporah quickly took a flint knife and circumcised Geshem. But you never hear once that he spoke against or got angry against his wife. Same thing with David. The Bible says that Absalom and Adonijah, that their father never spoke once against them. So what happened to his anger? Later, it cost him finishing or cost him entering the promised land. You see, what you are looking at, you can read a few scriptures. God just brought out about four samples. He must have been doing it consistently. Not because God didn't want to overcome it. Because what we saw, we just read, is a period of 40 years. Not that we read in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and think, but God, they met up already. No! God just took samples. There are two or three witnesses. Let everybody talk. This guy had a problem here. He didn't deal with it. That would not be a portion. Let's go at David. Initially, Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Acts 13, 22. This was God's testimony. No, before that, there's a scripture that talks, Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. 12:3. What is it? This is God's testimony of Moses. I want us to see that. He says, "Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth, including Africa." If you are there, then that's God's testimony. You see, what are we saying? Understand from the scriptures, in light of New Testament revelation, but the flesh lost against the spirit, the spirit against spirit. You can be the meekest man today if you don't watch and pray always. If you do not walk in the spirit, you will fulfill the loss of the flesh, of which is anger. Are you with me? So that was God's testimony of Moses. He was the meekest man. There was a time that was able to maintain, but he did not remain. So let's look at the life of David. Initially, Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Acts 13, 22. "And when he had removed him," talking about Saul, "he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said," this is God's testimony of David, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all of my wishes. When I was preparing, I was thinking about this some time ago when God started opening up my heart. I said, God, how come? How come the meekest man on heart will do this? How come a man of our own heart will do this? And God spoke to me. He said, take it to yourself and to the doctrine. So that in doing these things, you say, you save yourself and those that hear you. You can never come to a space that I'm okay. Even when you get you have a sin, even when you don't have a sin nature, you are still not okay. Because it's still in the air. Adam did not have a sin nature. Then what happened to him? Why would Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, the Lord, our master, said, we didn't have a sin nature. But recognize that I live in a hostile environment. Now, this is not to make you afraid of the devil. God has given you everything you need to do. And His grace is sufficient to do whatever His commandments are not grievous. Which if you do 100 times or 100 times, you will overcome the devil. And when even you miss it, it's not your habit. God will pull you up until you win the race. So your confidence has to always be in the grace and the mercy of God, which is dependent on the state of your heart. That you determine. Nobody determines with you. So, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 18, initially. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 18, initially. This is the same David. And they said, Saul wanted him to marry his daughter, Michal. Look at what he said. He said, and David said unto Saul, he said, Pastor Saul, who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel? That I should be the son-in-law of the king, Michal. God told him, so I took you from a sheep coat and made you, gave you a name. You know, my mom always says, when I'm going to school, she say, I want your humanity, won't she? Even though you don't dwell on the past, but remember, so when you remember, it makes you humble. That is, but let us see later. This person that was afraid to marry the king's daughter is the same person that took somebody's wife, slept with her. What happened? And killed the husband. And sat on the throne for at least over 9 months. Before the thing came out. Somebody was afraid to marry the king's daughter. That was the king of Amadu. I want to go marry his soul. The same person. You know why? You know why? 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 1. Bible says that after God had given him rest. And it came to pass when the king, that is David, sat in his house, and the Lord said, the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. So Faji. Nobody, Saul is dead already. Saul is not chasing him again. He's not running from pillar to post. Just leave it in verse 1. He's not so God gave him rest. Is that God wants to give us rest? But that person rest is not in activity. So what happened? 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 to 5. 2 Samuel 11. And it came to pass. The first came to pass was when God gave him rest. And the second came to pass is that after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, had David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Next verse. And it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house when he ought to be walking in the battle front. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Next verse. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite? Next verse. And David sent messengers and took her. That was took Omukodo Agbara. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and returned unto her house. Next verse. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Omashio. Folks, we are the tabernacle of David. We must not disappoint God. We must not. This thing pained God. I believe Jesus wept. Because God has so much pride about this man. Now, I want you to know something. It is not because God did not make all resources. It was just negligence. You see, when you make a mistake or God punishes you, God is just. Know that the problem is you. Nothing from without can defile a man except that is from within. Always. But you know, no problem. God will move on. He can do it the same thing 1,000 ways.
because he has sworn unto him that his son will come from him, he will keep on working it out. That's why you must not delay. By the mistakes you make, don't delay. Don't go and spend another 40 years in the wilderness when you are supposed to have suppressed your anger. Then go and spend another 40 years. There are a lot of people that are depending on you to set them free like Moses. No need for 40 years with go and marry the wrong person. If you had not gone to Midian, you know, I married wrong person. I married an Israelite who understood the law. You know, I made things a lot easier for him. Now, let's look at what did it cost David? It cost him building the temple. It cost him. Just that it cost Moses entering the promised land, it cost David 4 sons. But the most important thing that really cost him is this. He did not build the temple. Because that temple was the height of his glory. For God has said, I will dwell in Zion. God has sworn in them, as our Exodus also. He said, as long as I live, the whole land shall flow of my glory. It cost him more. It cost him. It may not cost us like it cost him in Jesus' day. But I said, these are written for examples, for admonition, so we can look at David. Look at what he did. So when it's time to go to battle, don't tarry. If you tarry one day, don't tarry. Just say, ah, God help me. Be honest. Call for Nathan. Call for Nathan. Those that God has put around you, over you. When you are weak, I can't pray. Call for Nathan. So Nathan will say, oh God, this is Satan. Let's go. We're going to bring back the ark of God. The Bible said he sought from the elders. Why did he call from Zadok? Zadok was a seer, like I read the other time. He said, ask from Zadok. Zadok, you are a priest. How do we carry this? It wasn't not Zadok that carried the ark when he was chasing him. Call for God. When the temptation comes, I begin to feel that you are something. I want to number the people. Call God. 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 I'm thinking of beginning to, I want to call, what do they call it? Accountant or stockbroker. I wanted to value all my assets. As it's not wrong to do it, but first of all, check your motive. So God is the ogre. Are you sure? Don't go and talk to Joab. Who cannot talk to you? So, that's why I said, be careful of praise singers. So, yes. In fact, yesterday, God told me that you should do it. They will confirm the word for you. And they'll put you into trouble. You know, I said something. I said that, Joab, listen to people. Whether they are foolish, whether they are bad. Listen. Bible says in Proverbs, a wise man will listen and will gain knowledge. Listen. You don't have to obey. Probably David has said, you keep Absalom, you keep Abner, you keep Amasa. You, what do you want to tell me? My God spoke to him. If God can speak to a donkey, he can speak to anybody, even your enemy. If you are listening to Joab, you wouldn't have had blood in his hands. People died. Thousands died. God had mercy, turned it around, but could have avoided it. Don't say, a little spiritual, a little more carnality. You are talking about to invest. Totally concerned with you. Hold on, like there, in sorrow. How do you put that thing? You, how much do you have? You want to tell me how to invest? How much do you know? Better shut up. God can speak to anybody. Bible said Jesus Christ, he said, knowing what he would do himself, we still ask them to get the second one. He said he knew he was going to multiply the bread. Now say, Philip, do you have where to go? He knew. So he had a witness in himself. Say, I go to get bread to confirm it. That Bible says, if a prophet receives something, say, let the other judge before you pronounce anything. New Testament prophets, say, let the other judge. You can have a vision, you can have anything. He will say, what is not your previous. I don't care how you have 10 visions in a day. So let's look at John the Baptist. Initially, Matthew chapter 3, verse 14, Amplified Bible. John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3, verse 14 in the Amplified Bible. What do I say? But John. This is when Jesus Christ came to baptize. But John protested strenuously, having in mind to prevent him, saying, it is I, who have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? As initially, he said, no, No, please. In fact, I've been thinking that you should baptize. How can you please don't put into a Bible? Please. You don't have it in our own language. Understand what I mean. Don't put me into trouble. That's what it means. That was initially. John chapter 3, verse 30. We quoted it. He said, he must increase and I decrease. That was initially. But later, what happened? Luke chapter 7, verse 19 in Amplified Bible. Luke chapter 7, verse 19. After a process of time, everything we are talking about in life of John Peter happened in 3 years thereabout. Because he baptized Jesus Christ when he began his ministry. And he died before Jesus Christ died. So probably he died 2 years after all, Jesus' study and ministry thereabout. He had deteriorated from him decreasing. Just, it can happen if you are negligent. So, and John summoned to him a certain two of his disciples and sent to him to them, when that one was in prison, and sent to them to the Lord, saying, are you he who is to come, or shall we continue to look for another? That's an insult. King James says, should we look for another? That means he already started looking for somebody else. He said, can we continue? He said, shall we continue? An insult. What is the problem? He gave the principle of a kingdom. To go up, you go down. The higher you go, the lower you must go. This man, Rick Godwin, he said something. He said there are two vocations that you start from the top. Grave digging and well digging. All the rest, you start from the bottom. So if you're a grave digger and you're ready to die, start from the top. So, it cost him. It cost him that he did not partake of the power of Elijah. This is where this message is critical. To partake of the spirit without measure. Say, you must increase and I decrease. That's why this message is very important for us. That's why I said God spoke to me. He said, you need to make the transition from John the Baptist to becoming John the Beloved via humility. He was destined to carry the same grace on Jesus Christ. He was an archangel that declared his destiny. Let us read Luke chapter 1, verse 17 in the King James Bible. That was his destiny. And God gave him the key. He gave him what we call the cronje. Just do this, then this will happen. Luke 1, 17. This is what the archangel said, Gabriel. And he shall go before him in the spirit and in the power. That power there is dunamis. Go and check it. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elisha. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to obedience to the wisdom of the just. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is where we are. We are partaking of the spirit of Elijah. We must also, it is God's destiny. For us to partake of the spirit of Elisha. The spirit without measure. That is where we are. But the way you are going to get it is to continue to go down in humility. You know what this thing did for him? Because he refused to decrease. Are you following me? He did not partake of the power of Elijah. John chapter 10 verse 41. John chapter 10 verse 41. What did he say? And many resorted unto him and said, John, say John, did no miracle. But all things that John spake of this man, as Jesus Christ, were true. The question is this, even though it's scripture, did God want you to partake of miracles and signs and wonders? But he did not. So it was not approved. Like Acts chapter 2 verse 22 says, say Jesus Christ, a man approved of God by miracles, signs and wonders among you. So it was not approved. He refused to be humble. He refused to deal with his residual sin nature in his soul and in his body. So we don't begin to, so I can know exactly what to do. He was not approved by miracles, signs, and wonders. Now let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our pattern and our goal. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 in Amplified Bible. Philippians 2, 4. We'll read it. If you read that scripture, it kept going down. It kept going down. From heaven became a man. From man became a slave. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned not only for your own interests, and also, but also each for
also each for the interest of others. So anytime you are doing something, in your heart, begin to esteem the person better. It's a heart, it's an attitude. When your flesh is saying you are better, no, say you're not better. It's just the grace of God. I'm sure God will help him. He will do better. You'll say yourself. Because you see, nature will be talking to you in your mind. Satan will be activating with remote control, changing the timeline of your mind. It will remind you my pay last time, remote control. Yeah, you say, you think you are the wisher of the church. That whatever you say will come to pass. That's Satan triggering the sin nature. Next verse. Setting you up. Let the same attitude. Say, let the same attitude. And purpose and humble mind be you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Next verse. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessed the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be carried grasped or retained. Notice he's talking about human mind. Mind. He said he did not think. Take every thought of pride captive. Next verse. But stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant. Slave, he became like men. God becomes man. And was born a human being. Next verse. And after he had appeared in human form, to continue, he abased and humbled himself, still for that, still for that. So he didn't stop. And carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Next verse. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that's above every name. If you want that name, follow the example of the Master. He's our goal and it's our pattern. Then let's look at some scriptures about Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 2 in King James. Let's look at. So we begin to look at ourselves. So when things are happening, you begin to call yourself to order. Behold, talking about that, behold, my servant whom I uphold. My elect, in whom my soul delighted, I have put my spirit upon him. That's spiritual measure. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, let's see the next verse. This is what I want to see. He shall not cry. Say, he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Noise making that we see in the body of Christ. The man of God is coming. The man of God, everybody is shaking. We think it's the governor that is coming. What do you have to announce when you're going somewhere? Everybody's shaking. The man of God is coming. Lord, have mercy on us. Let us look at Isaiah 42, verse 2 in the Message Bible. Message Bible, verse 2. He won't, say he won't, call attention to what he does with loud speeches or godly parades. Start announcing what you have done. I've checked, I have not seen. I may be wrong. I can't remember the Lord Jesus I sharing testimony. And now, listen. It's good to share testimony to encourage people. I'm not saying. But if you see the Master, the only time I remember him speaking about what he did was when he sent to John. He said, go and tell John. The blind see this. Blessed, that's the only thing I can remember in the scripture. So am I saying you shouldn't share testimony? No, share to encourage people. But when we share a testimony, make sure that the center of the testimony is God and Jesus, not what we have done. I prayed, I bound the devil, and God gave me favor. No, don't talk like that. Be self-effacing like John, the beloved. That's why he survived every other person to the end. Because he put his heart on the breast of the Master. He knew the heart of the Master. That is not, the Master is not, he doesn't want publicity, unnecessary humping. You publicize yourself too much, then you can't hide again when they are chasing you around the place. Yes, that's how you put yourself into trouble. They could not identify the Master. Why? He was like everybody. Normal men wearing the same thing. Eyes of like pigs. Somebody else. Enter a congregation today, you know who is the man of God. The chair will be there. I follow him. Another one will be there. Then the lady that's chair will be there. How would they identify you? He was just a regular guy. Like Pastor was sharing with us about 2 years ago. He said, the Master Jesus Christ, he made it so simple. He will call them together. He will sit down. Peter, take it easy. Take it easy. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Bring people near you. Don't drive them away. But you can do it. Why can't you do it?
Bros, Lalu. Lalu is boasting and saying, yes, okay. He said, no, cousin got to the bros. You know what you do? It's very easy. You know, the Bible says, it is by faith that may be through grace. So, just do this thing. It will happen. Cousin, I'm just a man like you. That's what he tells them. Those are my man of God. Do you know how many years I before I could get this anointing? Start bragging. Start boasting. As I start boasting, is evil. John chapter 5, verse 13. You know this is what he said in Amplified Bible. I want to show the master. You see, he would do something, he would go and hide himself. Matthew said that he might be fulfilled that which was written, which you read in Isaiah 42. That you will not hear his voice in the street. He will heal the guy at the pool of Bethesda and quickly disappear. Am I calling me? Some of us will do it and then we'll sit down. We'll camp meeting there. We are having a meeting tomorrow. I'm going to do 7 steps of how to raise the dead. Now, this is the man, the invalid who had been healed did not know. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Did not know who it was. So is that just Christ was always wasn't want people to know? For Jesus had quietly gone away, had passed unnoticed since there was a crowd in the place. Some of us will sit down there. Oh, rest there with the boo. Money. They are taking up our offering. I mean, this is an opportunity to make it. We have not been able to build another extension all these years. Now raise it there. Please. Announce to everybody. Then you stand. Somebody wants to say, no. I'm taking the announcement today, Laulu. So that they can know and wonder, did you didn't do it now? So how would you know to say it? So let me be one that will tell the people. Lord, have mercy on me. So what are we saying? John chapter 7, verse 4. This is where we are. Oh. This is where we are. Amplified Bible. This was at the Feast of Tabernacles. This is where we are. And this is the attitude we should have. Look at what the brethren say. For no one does anything in secret when he wishes to be conspicuous and secure publicity. If you must do these things, if you must act like this, show yourself openly and make yourself known to the world. But the master wasn't looking for publicity. He was not praying. That yes, God, let the governor come to my church. It's possible you should be doing that in your heart. As far as he was concerned, every soul belongs to God. Must be saved. Couldn't that have been why God took Philip away when revival broke out in Samaria? He couldn't handle it. Just disappeared. I got to go and appear in Azotus. He couldn't appear. Said, don't put a novice in office. That's why when you get the spirit, the borrowed anointing, you must remain humble and stay under authority. Feast of Tabernacles, that's where we are. People pushing you. Go. No, don't go. Why is this message very important? I'm going to rush through. We need abounding grace. Say, we need abounding grace through humility to overcome the end time abounding iniquity in this generation. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 13. Proverbs 30:13. It's end time. Oh. Pride is an end time problem. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes. And their eyelids are lifted up. Is this end time? Oh? The millennial generation. They don't want to listen to their parents. He's like, what are you telling me? Kill them all. Go and look at the life of David. Though. I don't have time to stand there. When they sent him to go and give food to his brethren, when he saw Saul, and Saul gave him the armor, he did not say, okay, I'm going to tell you, left it for me. But he put it on. When he put it on, I now say, okay, sorry, it's too heavy for me. If it's nowadays, they will immediately, like, you give a child some, how can you buy this for mommy for me? Or it's like, you go and buy techno for your child. God forbid, I don't want to do it. I say, kill that for me. This one that cannot, please, when my friends are doing iPhone, whatever. It's a spiritual problem. They will look at me, what are you giving me? He didn't know. He saw the armor. He put it on. So when I put it on, you know, it was, Bible says in message, say we couldn't even move. They now removed it. I have not tried. Let me use. That should be the attitude. Even when you don't want something, not speak back and say, Daddy, everybody is buying this for them. They are taking their children abroad. You are saying that I should go to Oyo and go and beat their grandmother. Yeah, some people can say that. Pick it later for me. Huh? My others are buying, what's it called? Yeah, Jordan. You are buying Etonic for me. Etonic is the one that this guy was marketing. Akim Olajuwon. So he can be along when he gets to school. You should slap him! For that, oh dear, what Batalosis, you are working as a barefooted priest. We need to deal with it. It is pride. Say the generation, your eyes are lifted up. Pride. But God is dealing with it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. So you can see an end time problem. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. And this know also that in the last day, so is a problem with the end time, because iniquity is abound, and the arrowhead of iniquity is pride. This know that in last days, perilous times shall come. Next verse. Men shall be lovers of themselves, their of own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Full stop. Let's leave it there. So you will see an increase in Buddha boast. People now, you see them in the world. And very soon, Christians will start doing it. Somebody is celebrating 40 feet per day. Go and put a signboard there for people to say 45. 45 far. How old are you? 46 far. Before you know, now next year, now another guy that is starting will put his own there. How old are you? Oh, T.I.T. Berry. You are not even began the first phase of a ministry. So, but God is dealing with it. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. Zephaniah 3 verses 11 to 13. God is dealing with it. He will deal with it in such a way that nobody will come and call the proud happy. In that day, say in that day, shall thou be ashamed, you church, for all thy doings, when thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in their pride. That's what David did when a number of people. And thou shalt not be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also live in the midst of thee, an afflicted and a poor people, and I shall trust in the name of the Lord. That's why the shaking is going on. So he's shaking every confidence we have in natural things. Only those things that cannot be removed, one that cannot be shaken will remove, which is the kingdom of God. To learn to trust God every day. Learn to live by faith every day. Not because you have this here, you have that there. Nothing. Not because you don't use those things. Like Paul said, use them as if they are not. So if God takes it, praise God. If God says, pack your load, go to come out of village, praise God. You're not crying. Say, oh God, that's why I told them the wilderness. Say, look, you're just placing tents here. You can't build a permanent structure here. Don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. That is my pleasing that God will be a good soldier. Next, number two. We need to make the transition from John the Baptist to becoming John the Beloved via humility in order to partake of spirit without measure. I've already explained what that is. Now, let me explain it clearly so you can understand. It means moving from a place of revelation knowledge of Christ to a place of living like Christ by walking in humility. So, John the Baptist had a revelation of Christ. Thou art the Christ. Something good. But he did not move to living like the Christ through humility. Point number three. Pastor has shared this. Go and read Pastor. I recommend again, please. Pastor's Rema on permanent humility, humility and tribulation. And then he preached a message years ago called glory in heart and not in appearance. Don't glory because you just got a car. I'm not saying don't give thanks to God. But glory that maybe somebody slapped you and you didn't get angry. Ah, God, I'm changing. Praise God. Glory in that. That is character formation. Those that are in the world, they can make more than you can make. Don't be like them, like the Gentiles. Glory in your heart. Yeah, I'm becoming more humble. Yes, I'm forgiving people more. Glory in those things. Those are the things that matter. That is the wine skin that will hold the wine. That's the wine skin that will not burst. Number three. In order to have a permanent flow of God's grace and mercy in sufficient measure to us, so giving us permanent access to the power of his spirit without measure. We do not only need, you know what I said earlier? I say remaining means continuous. You don't stop. Are you with me? So in order to have what? A permanent flow. It's not something that will happen and then you stop. Because the spirit without measure, once God gives it, it's supposed to be permanent. To finish and close its age. It's not matter you collect it, I don't collect it more. No, it's this sort of thing. So it is this heart of increase in humility, like Pastor Pete, until it becomes permanent. That he cannot, Pastor says, his heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. He has become a pillar in humility. Are you following me? And the only way can I do is to get it of his nature. It's to get it of his nature. So perfection is not an option. If your nature is there, you can't go to bed and say, I'm okay, even if it's just a little bit. Deal with it. So in order to have a permanent flow of God's grace and mercy, in sufficient measure to us, so giving us permanent access to the power of the Spirit with that measure. Point number 4. So our hearts will not be lifted up with pride when we are made strong with permanent access to the power of the Spirit with that measure. That's a problem that many men of God have. I don't have time to turn there. Go and check them on the web, on the internet. Men of God are very humble. They did miracles, signs and wonders. The next thing is that they started misbehaving. Why? Not because God wanted them to misbehave. No, they stopped doing decreasing. They stopped keeping the commandments of God, which I will explain to you. They stopped what they were doing before that brought that thing. They stopped. You see, you got born again because of your honesty on your heart. That's how you got born again. You heard the truth, you humbled yourself. So as you keep on, keeping on. You don't stop. The humility of today must be more than the humility of yesterday. The humility of tomorrow must be more than the humility of today. So you are constantly decreasing and it's constantly increasing. So you can't say, okay, I'm not the humble though. That means there's nothing like that in the kingdom of God. Why is the master that we read? From heaven, he became a man. From God, he became a man. He kept on going down, going down, going down, going. From the highest in heaven, he went to the lowest in hell. That's it. So Uzziah, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16. Pastor has shared this before. Because that was all the problem that Satan had. Satan started looking at the glory that was carrying. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. When he was strong. When he was strong. When you are weak, you can't be bragging about anything. But when power begins to come, and people begin to say, I'm a father, it's not like you. If you don't watch yourself, you get into trouble. You won't get into trouble. Now let's read the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 in Amplified Bible. This talks about putting on the apron of humility. When I was preparing, God reminded me of a book that a pastor gave us some years ago about Rick Joyner. When talking about when they were climbing the mountain. He said, as we were climbing the mountain, I said it was a dream and a series of visions that occurred. He said, as we were coming down the mountain, he said, he began to see his armor begin to shine and all the other Christians. And then he said, he couldn't see afar off again because of the glory of the armor that was shining. So he said, ask wisdom, it's the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, how come I cannot see clearly? Then he now told him, he said, it's because of the armor that is shining. He said, now took a drab cloth like this. He threw it, he said, put it on. He said, he was insulted. Can you give me to put on the glory? As the garb of humility of a servant. So when he put it on, the glory was no longer visible, but it was covered. That's what the master did and has been doing all the years. Or the God's amount of transgression, you just had the thing show, then you know, put it back under the humility. So, humility is the covering for the glory. So, just brought it out. So, you know that what Adam had, he had it. They saw it, he said it was shining. Then he quickly covered it again. He didn't just have it though, he's always carried the thing, just allowed the thing to show. He quickly put on a mantle of humility. So he said in that something, he said, as they were coming down, a lot of the soldiers of Christ in that vision and dream that he had, they were just going. They didn't pick up the mantle of humility, the dress. So he said that pride is the greatest enemy. He said it sneaks from behind. So immediately they were moving down to go and attack the hordes of hell. He said, this army's hordes of hell, they are coming from behind and their back was not covered. They started firing darts from behind. So some of them, they started dropping the word of God, their sword. In that dream, which was the word of God. And I said something, said, when you stop desiring the word of God, then you are entering into pride. Then you are living by your own word, not by the word of God. So he said that humility, he said, humility determines how much you see. How is that true? Because God gives, he said, with the lowly is wisdom. Wisdom is light. So the more humble you are, the more light you have. So let's read. We need to have this mantra. I'll show you how we can get it every day. Likewise,
You who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe, say clothe. Apron, yourselves, all of you, leadership and laity. With what? Humility. Now, this is what I want to see. As what? The garb of a servant. So that this covering cannot, say cannot, possibly be what? Stripped from you. That means there is somebody that will try and strip it from you. With freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful. And he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them. But gives grace, favor, blessing to the humble. Ah, may God not resist us. So he said, though I can't be removed from you. Make sure that you're always checking that they have not stripped it. The Bible says that Samson wished not that his spirit had left him. So, how is what I want to talk about, which is very, very important. Pastor has taught us, but now Saul is when I asked God and he began to explain to me. And I saw the importance of diligence and things you have been taught to do. You can read about Saul, you can be afraid. No, God doesn't want you afraid. I follow me. But if you do what he tells you to do, you not do what you're not supposed to do. Are you with me? If you do what God said you should do, you not do what you are not supposed to do. It is when you don't do what you're supposed to do, or do it diligently, sins of omission, now leads to commission. So point number one, we daily choose, and continue in the fear of the Lord all day long. So we daily choose, and continue in the fear of the Lord all day long. So you don't just choose the fear of God. There's a place in Proverbs. He says, don't be envious of sin, but continue down in the fear of the Lord all day long. So don't just wake up in the morning and say, I choose the fear of God. Strong man said, by submitting to your God. When I don't feel like it, especially in prayer, knowing the certainty of his judgment, if I disobey, and the security of mercy, when I obey. So I have more of humility. But no, it's good in the morning. But continue all day long. Continue all day long to walk in the fear of God. That was shared what I shared the other day. If not, you will forget. Set your alarm. If you have an exam and you want to fall asleep, won't you tell people to wake you up or set an alarm? Why give yourself the excuse that I always forget? So you continue the fear of the Lord all day long. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18. That's what God told him. He said, when you have a king, put in the Amplified Bible, 17, 18. Say, when he sits on his royal throne and he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book out of what is before the Levitical priest. Next verse. And he shall keep it with him. Say, he shall keep it with him. So if you are going to school, keep it with you. If you are traveling, keep it with you. Even when you go to the toilet with yourself, keep it with you. Satan doesn't go to bed, though. Keep it with you all the time. Keep it with you. So at every opportunity, choose the fear of God. Create the opportunity. That you may learn, reverentially to fear the Lord is God by keeping all the words of his law and these statutes and doing them. Next verse. That is the issue of the mind, though. His mind and heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment of to the right or to the left, so that he may continue long, he and his sons, in his kingdom in Israel. So it's a mind thing. I don't have time to tell you. Message Bible says in a very nice way, you know, the second verse. He said he must have it to be beside him. Put the message before we're going to round up very soon. Message Bible says, that scroll is to remain at the side. When you are going to bed, put it beside your pillow. Be a fanatic for God. So he said, he is to study it every day so that he may learn what it means to fear his God, living in reverent obedience before these rules and regulations by following them. Carry it on. Have many copies. You are not sowing to the kingdom, you are sowing to your life. If you have many copies of Practical Guide to Prayer, you are sowing to your life. So if you lose one, another one is waiting. If I forget one here today, another one is waiting by my bedside. My wife knows where I pray. Yeah, I will hide this one, I'll put this one here, then I'll have one in my brain. At least I will remember I choose to fear God. At least I know how to fear. If everything is, I can't remember, maybe God forbid that you stole my booklet, I can still remember to choose the fear of God. So, by reason of you. Putting on the fruit of the Spirit daily and continually by watching and praying always. That scripture, Pastor, I'm talking about the how now, which is the most important part of it that you must get.
That is how you transit from John the Baptist to John the Beloved. You choose the fear of God daily. Which is honesty and humility of heart. Which determines the measure of grace and mercy you receive. Then you fill your will, mind, and soul with the fruit of the Spirit. By watching and praying always. So every opportunity, you say, Lord, power, please fill and cover my will, mind, emotions, body, and circumstances. More love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and patience. So our things speak, feel, and act like God. The next circumstance situation for the next 24 hours. 3. Regular times of fasting and leading a fasted life. You need to be fasting regularly. The master said, this kind, pride is one of a kind. This kind will not go out except by fasting and praying. Pride is one of a kind. Psalm 69 verse 10. He said, I hold my soul with fasting. 4. You now go out after you have put the spiritual forces into place. You've done your battle praying. You choose the fear of God, the fruit of the Spirit, and you continue in the day by watching and praying. That's working in the Spirit. Then you now begin to practice. Don't stop there. This is where the problem is. You now begin to practice humility. Luke chapter 14, verse 7. You now begin, apart from doing it, so you don't, you know, Bible says the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart. The end is not just saying the confessions. And then you will mark it. I've done my this, 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 I've done my this. You have done your nothing. It's a snare of Satan. I used to do it. You need to sit back at the end of the day and now examine yourself. And judge yourself. How far did I walk in the fear of God? Don't condemn. Ah, Lord, I made a mistake. Then you, that's how you begin to check. Don't just say, I've done this, and done that for the Pharisee day. I fast twice a week. I do this a week. And it's better if you do only one. And you forgot to pick you. And you do everything, and you take everything right. And yet, as far as God is concerned, you did not live the life. It's not the talk, it's the walk. So, and he put forth the parable to those which were bidden. When he marked out, they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, sense of entitlement. When they are bidding of any man to wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidding of him. Next verse. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place. I don't want to mention my name. Pastor Joey, give this man place. And I begin with shame to take the lowest room. Was I him? Kotu mo kotu ajo kusai ngeje. But when thou art bidding, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when it obey the comment, he may say unto thee, friend, go up either higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Next verse. For whosoever exalts him shall be abased, and the humble himself shall be exalted. It's easier said than done. It's easier. Folks, it's easier said. I remember the day. Please permit me. We are somewhere. I think we were serving food. So they started beside me. They served. When they got here, they stopped. Everyone was looking at me. I was sweating. I can't even share. I didn't know who to call. I be there, baby. So there was a struggle inside me. Flesh was acting. I couldn't grab somebody else's word and say, you are junior to me, give it to me, go. So they started again, served another round of food. They started beside me and they went round again. I said, that is bad. And they stopped again. Somehow, and then one person sitting beside me, he started laughing at me. He said, bad day, Ekpele. So, what do you in that kind of situation? Because you can find yourself in that situation. Again, what do? You begin to use your mind to pray. Lord, have mercy. Just ask for mercy. You're catching me too. Kimano Barajan, people. Hey, this is happening. I'm going to say, okay, I'm a man of God. You are laughing. One day you'll be there. You'll be gallivanting to the front. Then I will say, sorry, sir. Hey, Roro Koina, I sit laying here. So stay at the back. Humble, then they go and carry you, then have honor before men. Lord, have mercy. Exercise yourself. Thank you. Exercise humility. Don't just pray. Now, carry it out. Now, does that mean you always take the lowest position? No. But practice it. Practice it. Just practice makes perfect. My last point I have here is very important. I mentioned it. Point number 5. Watch out for praise singers. Say, watch out for praise singers. These are the ones that are going to wait for you after a message. Say, in fact, you confirmed that word to me. If I was about this alone, Shelley. I share. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7. You see, I've been talking natural. You can only overcome it
when you are diligent in walking in the spirit. So each time you are choosing the fear of God, as you have just succeeded like this, you don't wait. You say, I choose the fear of God. You in your mind, as you are doing something, you are constantly choosing. So you don't know when the enemy will come or when Satan will send people to you. Look at what he almost did for David. First Samuel chapter 18, verse 7. After he killed Goliath. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul had slain his thousands and David 10,000. Saul has. So it created a problem for Saul. And then if David was not humble enough for him. But if you read, I don't have time to turn there, about four different places. If you go down, he says, Saul, David behaved himself wisely. That means he kept on going under. But Saul, that's what he should have done. He didn't do it. Acts chapter 12, verse 21. As we close. 12:21. See what he did to Herod. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. Is it wrong to make an oration? No. Is it wrong for you to speak properly? Look, well, there's nothing wrong in it. But there's a problem when you don't give glory to the person that gave it to you. Especially before the people. Don't say, I will do it later. Right and there. You say, Father, I thank you. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. I begin to clap to myself. Oh, Tito, enough. Stop them. Stop them. Don't keep quiet. And say, don't be humble. In those days, when they raised up him from the dead, you know what they did? I want to sacrifice them. They would tear their clothes before everybody. They didn't go and tear it in the. They would tear it before. But no, I'm not going to me. It is not me. I'm a man like you. They'll tear their clothes. You see, Paul is going to the ship. He wants to travel. It's not difficult for him to kneel down outside and pray. Don't cross your leg in church. You can't kneel down before people. Be humble. There's something about, I'm not saying kneel down religiously, but that's an act of humility. The master fell on his face at Gethsemane. He fell on his face before the Father. And upon a said, next verse. And he gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of God and not of man. It is the voice of God and not of man. Next verse. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not the glory. Gave God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and he gave up ghosts. That means that before, for somebody to be eaten with worms, immediately he dies. That means he had died before. He didn't care. Come on. He had been dying of pride before, he didn't know. If somebody dies, the worms won't spring out immediately. Do you get what I'm saying? That means he had a problem. What in decay, you know? Come on. Nobody can die like this, God forbid, and then worms come out of him. Immediately, no. Oti, I'm talking spiritual. That's what I'm saying. He had been pride had been killing him. He had been decaying inside of pride and arrogance. So immediately he died. That is the worms, the ones that just came out. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. The Lord will have mercy on us. It is what we need at this time, like what John the Baptist means, to partake of the spirit of Elijah. We need it. Our God, so we need it. And I've told you by the grace of God how past what has taught us. That is why it's critical to be diligent. You can't afford to be negligent. With choosing the fear of God and filling with the love of God every day, you cannot afford to be negligent. Because if you are negligent, what will happen is thorns and briars will begin to spring up from your soul. It will not spring up my soul in Jesus' name. On bended knees we come. Let's condemn ourselves. We've all fallen short, including me, that has shared the word today. But the Bible says that if forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. A just man may have fallen seven times, but God will pick us up. This is why the message has come today. The reason is so that God can pick us up. He's not condemning us. He's just telling us to be more diligent. There's grace available. There's mercy available. The Bible says, therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We've come to that hour of need now. As we pray, let's just talk to God. Ask Him to help you. Don't condemn yourself. He understands. So let's just ask God for mercy as we pray. Like Mama, we've shared recent times, we've come to that season in which we are to break our alabaster box and pour out the ointment to worship at His feet. That His aroma may be a sweet smell. See, that alabaster box there speaks about the rending of the veil of the flesh, that which is within can come out. I say, awake, O north wind, and thou sound, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof, the fruit, may come out. But say, Lord, please have mercy on us. So we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to remain small in my eyes so that I can have permanent flow, a permanent flow of God's grace and mercy, even in sufficient measure, giving me a permanent access to the power of the Spirit without measure. I come to ask for fresh mercy and grace to daily, as an act of my will, choose the fear of God. So I will humble myself by submitting daily to the will of God, even when I don't feel like it, especially in prayer, knowing the certainty of His judgment when I disobey, and the security of His mercy when I obey. In Jesus' name, let's pray in the Spirit. Rabba Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rabba Kuraba Rubo Santa, pray. Rubo Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, release more power. Release more power. Rubo Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rubo Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rabba Sombra, Makuri Kata, Rebo Santa, Param. Father, mercy, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you. Rubo Sombra, Matam, Kuramo Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rubo Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rubo Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rubo Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rabba Kuraba Santa, Rabba Kuraba. In Jesus' name. Before we sing, can God just drop the scripture on my heart? I will read it and then we'll praise God and thank Him for showing us things to come. This is the book of Isaiah, and it says 66. Say, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things at my handmaid, and all those things have I, all those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. May we tremble at God's word in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, have mercy on us, so we receive your blood.